Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the day you blessed us with and so many things already you've given us and now given us this blessed opportunity to be able to get back in your word. We truly thank you for it. Lead, guide, direct all this as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Continuing our Bible study from A to Z in the word help, we'll turn to Psalm 124. We see here another psalm of David where it reads, "If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, now may Israel say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, when men rose up against us, then they had swallowed us up quick. When their wrath was kindled against us, then the waters had overwhelmed us and stream had gone over our soul. Then the proud waters had gone over our soul. Blessed be the Lord who hath not given us as a prey to their teeth. Our soul is escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowlers, and the snare is broken, and we are escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth." He finishes it off there with an excellent statement, which he clearly puts, "Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth." The one who spoke everything into existence helps us when he accepts us into his family and looks after us. Our help is truly in the Lord. All right, now turn on over to the book of Isaiah. In Isaiah, let's go to Isaiah 41 and pick it up in verse 10. Some awesome verses here concerning the help that we receive from the Lord. As it reads, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." That one verse right there could be the prominent one for the whole subject of receiving help from the Lord. But as it continues, "Behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing, and they that strive with thee shall perish. Thou shalt seek them, and shalt not find them. Even them that contended with thee, they that war against thee, shall be as nothing, and as a thing of naught. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, Fear not, I will help thee. Fear not, thou worm of Jacob, and ye men of Israel, I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Behold, I will make thee a new sharp threshing instrument, having teeth. Thou shalt thresh the mountains, and beat them small, and shalt make the hills as chaff. Thou shalt fan them, and the wind shall carry them away, and a whirlwind shall scatter them. Thou shalt rejoice in the Lord, and shalt glory in the Holy One of Israel. When the poor and needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will open rivers in high places and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dried land springs of water. I will plant in the wilderness the cedar and the sheeted tree and the myrtle and the oil tree. I will set in the desert the fir tree and the pine and the box tree together, that they may see and know and consider and understand together that the hand of the Lord hath done this, and the Holy One of Israel hath created it." Some words of encouragement there, letting us know that he's going to help us and he's going to comfort us. These words given directly to Isaiah to be presented to the children of Israel to give them comfort in their time of need. And they can also apply to all of us today that are part of the family of God. As he says there once again in verse 10, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. That hand of righteousness, that comfort that comes upon us, like he said there in verse 13, for I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. Comforting, holding us, and helping us. So awesome what the Lord gives us. So awesome, definitely by grace. All right, now turn on over to Isaiah 44. And here we see another one about the Lord helping us in Isaiah 44, picking it up in verse 1. Yet now hear, O Jacob, my servant, and Israel, whom I have chosen. Thus saith the Lord that made thee and formed thee from the womb, which will help thee. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, and thou, Jezreel, whom I have chosen. For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed, and my blessing upon thine offspring. And they shall spring up as among the grass, as willows by the watercourses. Once again, encouragement. Once again, proclaiming the help that we can receive from the Lord. All right, on over to Isaiah chapter 50. Couple verses here, verse 7, 9 through 9, reads, for the Lord God will help me, therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. He is near that justifieth me. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who is mine adversary? Let him come near to me. Behold, the Lord God will help me. Who is he that shall condemn me? Lo, they all shall wax old as a garment. The moth shall eat them up. Proclaiming that conquering the enemies through the assistance of the Lord. All right, now let's jump right on over to Matthew. Now, we know there's a lot of other references that we can find throughout the Bible concerning getting help from the Lord and receiving things connected to that is comfort and assurance. And the Lord teaches us in the Gospels and shows us an example of forgiveness and concern for someone else. And he teaches us how to pray in a way to ask for help from the Lord. In Matthew chapter 6, the model prayer that he gives us as a model to pray our prayers in a similar fashion, in Matthew chapter 6, picking it up in verse 9, the words of the Lord. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. When we start our prayer, and a prayer is a communication to the Lord, when we start that, we recognize who we are praying to, and give credit, and give respect and honor to the Lord. Because it said, hallowed be thy name. And then getting into the request, if there is a request, in verse 11. Give us this day our daily bread. Important there, when you are asking for help from the Lord, not to be greedy. Just give us this day our daily bread. Give us what we need right now. Verse 12. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. That asking of forgiveness and being forgiving of others is very important. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That temptation that can come around to test you, to try you, It's his request not to have to go through such a test or a trial or a temptation. And that deliver us from evil is speaking primarily of the evil potential in us when those temptations come along, for us to react in an evil way. He's, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And acknowledging there the power and the glory of the Lord. And an important point he points out here at the end of that reads, for if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So we must understand, we need to be merciful and forgiving and loving to others, just like the Lord is merciful, forgiving, and loving to us. Because when we carry a grudge, when we have unforgiveness in our heart, it hurts us more than it does the person that we have this unforgiveness for. So if you want to have the peace that passeth all understanding, if you want to have full forgiveness, if you want to be able to receive the help when you need it, you must be forgiving as well. All right, now turn to Matthew in chapter 9. Now, we know, as I said earlier, there's a lot of examples of the Lord helping folks throughout the Gospels, especially in the form of healing. We won't cover all those because there'd be an entire series just on what the Lord was able to do for folks during that 3.5 years of that he was right there with them, helping them. But let's look at a few of the key ones here. And in Matthew chapter 9, picking it up in verse 27, it reads, and when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou Son of David, have mercy on us. So they were crying out to Jesus, acknowledging that he was a descendant of David, and asking for mercy. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus saith unto him, Believe ye that I am able to do this? They said unto him, Yea, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, According to your faith be it unto you. And their eyes were opened, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, See that no man know it. But they, when they were departed, spread abroad his fame in all that country. They should have at least had the courtesy to do what he asked after he had healed them. But they didn't. It was such a miraculous event. They were so thankful and so excited about it, they just couldn't hold it in. They had to share it. But it did create more of an obstacle because a lot more folks come in just to get something from the Lord. That's what it was all about, and a whole lot of them, that was all they wanted. And when they couldn't get anything else from him, they just departed. It was all the greed, it was all the desire for fulfillment of their wants, their needs. So we see here another example in Matthew chapter 14. Here we see a situation with Peter crying out for help. In Matthew chapter 14, let's pick it up in verse 22, where it reads, And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship, and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. Jesus actually walking on the water. Like, well, how would that be possible? We've got to understand who Jesus is. He spoke everything into existence. He controls everything that's in existence by his word. They stay in existence. Therefore, he has authority over all of it. If he chose to walk on top of the water, he could walk on top of the water. If he chose to just hover above the water, he could have done that as well. But he chose to walk upon the water. And it continues. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. See, Jesus not only has the power and authority over all of his creation, he can share that experience with others as well, as he was doing here with Peter. But note what happens to Peter. Read verse 29 again. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. Which is exactly what he should have done in that situation. Cry out to the Lord for help. When you get your eyes off of the Lord and you get your eyes on the problems of the world that are all around you, the ravening wolves and the dangers and the hardships in this world, the problems that you face daily, if you get your eyes off of Jesus and your eyes on all those problems, you're going to sink down into that despair. But you got to get your eyes off of the problems. You got to get your eyes back on Jesus Christ. Get your eyes on him and cry out, Lord, save me. You ask him for that help to pull you out of that mire, to pull you out of that fearful condition, to pull you out of that depression, to pull you out of whatever anguish that you are having, whatever problem, just as Peter did. He got his eyes back on the Lord and he cried out, save me. In verse 31, and immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth thou art the Son of God. Would have been quite an awesome experience to go through, to see that, and to participate in it like Peter was doing. And that helped them in the future, when they were finally indwelt with the Holy Ghost and started their ministry out there, spreading the gospel and so forth, to be able to think back on those experiences and the things that they were able to witness firsthand, to be able to proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord, as our Savior, as the one that we can cry out to, Lord, save me. And he'll just reach down and pull us out of that mire, pull us out of that storm, and take us right to comfort and peace. All right, now right on over to chapter 15. In Matthew chapter 15, pick it up in verse 21. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon, and behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. This was a test to her and to others around, and an example showing that his mercy, his grace, his saving power, his healing power has come to all mankind. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. And Jesus departed from thence and came nigh unto the Sea of Galilee and went up into a mountain and sat down there. And great multitudes came unto him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. Insomuch that the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb to speak, and the maimed to be whole, the lame to walk, and the blind to see, and they glorified the God of Israel. Glorified the God of Israel, proclaiming what they had seen, the miracles, the help that they were receiving from Jesus Christ, acknowledging from whom it came as well. That was one of the key things. All right, now let's jump on over to Mark. And the Gospel of Mark, and let's look at one here in Mark in chapter 9, and pick it up in verse 14, where it reads, "And when he came to his disciples and saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them, and straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, What question ye with them? And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. He entereth him and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, How long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, Of a child, and oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Clearly put, asking for help from the Lord. As he continues, Jesus said unto him, If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. That is such an important verse right there. For us to know that we can ask for more faith, for more belief. He's crying out and asking for more. Lord, help mine unbelief. And we see what happens. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him, and he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, He is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he had come into the house, the disciples asked him privily, Why could not we cast him out? And he said unto them, This kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. When we need help, we can cry out for help. When we need assistance from the Lord, we can ask for it. Even if we have a lack of faith, we can ask for it. Ask him to help our unbelief. So awesome, the mercy and the grace of the Lord, the many things that he gives us, even the strength that we need, even the faith that we need to believe that he can do what he can do. One verse over here in Luke chapter 19, in verse 10, For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. The whole purpose of his coming was to save and is to save that which was lost. Salvation. After all, what we see over in John chapter 3, some of the most famous verses here. John chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. All for the help of others. To help others was what it's all about, and is all about, is to seek help from the Lord. And when we receive that help from the Lord, we then in turn help others. The many things that he gives us, we turn around and share them with others, and then he's able to even multiply them more in us, whatever it may be. So we need to be very generous in our giving as well, as he is generous and forgiving and loving and caring for us. And it's so awesome the things that he has done for us and he proclaims for us, and that he will help us and the things that he gives us. And we go back to that one that we had over here in Isaiah, which is profound, in Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. With the right hand of the righteousness of God. And we always got to understand and know that the righteousness comes from the Lord, not from ourselves. We are blanketed by his righteousness when we trust in him. We're cleansed in his blood. And then we have that righteousness, that comfort, that guidance, that help anytime we need it. We merely need to ask, and he'll give it to us. So let's all ask for the help that we need and turn around and be helpful for others as well. Let's pray. Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we truly do thank you for the help that you give us each and every day. The very breath that is within us is by your mercy, your grace. We know that. We thank you for that. We truly thank you for allowing us to be a part of your work and look forward to so much in the future. Thank you, oh, so much. Help us to share what you have given to us. Give us the boldness to proclaim you as our Lord and Savior and increase our faith. Thank you once again as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Thank you.